Hello, it's Thursday, the 9th of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. As the escalating violence in the Strait of Hormuz shows, Iran remains an immediate threat. But in Jerusalem, there's growing concern about another regional power, Turkey. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has just hosted the NATO summit, and today he brushed aside Israeli objections to Turkey receiving F-35 fighter jets. So while Iran dominates today's headlines, Turkey's growing influence is becoming harder to ignore. Turkey expert Dr. Hayatan Cohen-Yanaroçak joins me in just a moment to explain why Ankara has become increasingly important to Europe, Russia, Ukraine, and the United States, and what that means for Israel. First, though, the latest. A major escalation in the Gulf after President Trump declared the ceasefire with Iran was over. Iran has been lashing out at its Gulf Arab neighbours, striking Bahrain, Kuwait and Qatar this morning. It comes after the United States struck dozens of targets in Iran for a second consecutive night. Here in Israel, the official assessment is that the conflict is likely to remain confined to the Persian Gulf, but the IDF has been placed on high alert in case that changes. Inside Iran, the seemingly never-ending funeral of Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei continues. His body's been brought back from Iraq to his hometown of Mashhad. Thousands are expected to gather for his burial near the shrine of Imam Reza. And in Iraq, the new government has agreed to take additional measures to ensure US dollars transferred to Baghdad do not reach the country's Iranian-backed Shiite militias. According to the Wall Street Journal, the new safeguards have already prompted the US Treasury Department to resume dollar transfers after a four-month suspension. Israel has pushed back after President Trump suggested it was preparing to withdraw from southern Lebanon. Defense Minister Israel Katz says Israel does not need anyone's permission to remain, insisting the IDF will stay inside its security zone until Hezbollah is disarmed and the threat to northern Israel removed. The comments highlight a growing gap between Washington's expectations and Jerusalem's security priorities. The United States is set to remove Syria from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. President Trump has told President Ahmed al-Sharaa that he intends to lift the remaining barriers to the country's reconstruction. The proposal will now head to Congress for review. Meanwhile, Syrian officials have blamed loyalists of the former president Bashar al-Assad for this week's bombing attack in Damascus during the visit by the French President Emmanuel Macron. And Jerusalem has been ranked the world's seventh best city in the 2026 Travel and Leisure World's Best Awards, making it the highest ranked destination in the Middle East and North Africa. The recognition comes as Israel's tourism industry looks to recover after nearly 3 years of war and amid hopes that regional hostilities may finally be easing. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Dr. Hayatan Cohen-Yanaroçak. President Erdogan seems to have both the Americans and the Europeans wrapped around his finger. I mean, we have to admit, he's played his cards pretty well, hasn't he?
Indeed. He's taking advantage of the developments in the world arena. First and foremost, the Russia-Ukraine war. While arming Ukraine, Turkey is also allowing the Russians to circumvent Western sanctions. It means that they became an indispensable player for the Europeans, but also the Russians. At the same time, Donald Trump is pushing the Europeans to the battlefield once again, and they are becoming the ones who will be responsible for their own security. While the US is withdrawing from this equation, Turkey is becoming more and more influential. Why? Because the Turkish defense industry is considered as a very important engine for the European countries to acquire efficient and relatively cheap ammunition and also UAVs, etc., that they prove themselves in various locations, for instance, Nagorno-Karabakh, Libya, Ethiopia, and even Ukraine, right? Therefore, the Europeans are looking at Turkey as an important arms provider. And at the same time, they do not want to have Turkey as an additional headache. We do not see that the Europeans are punishing Turkey for violating, for instance, the jurisdictional maritime zones of Republic of Cyprus and Greece. And also, it is considered as a European territory, right? We do not see it. On contrary, we are seeing deepening cooperation with Turkey, and Turkey seizing this opportunity.
At the same time, a lot of these European countries are announcing boycotts or that they're cutting ties with Israel's defense industry.
Definitely. The Turkish administration is conducting a very systematic delegitimization campaign against the state of Israel, almost in every arena. And this is ringing alarm bells in Jerusalem, because we do not see that the European countries are acting against Turkey. Also, we should highlight the deterioration of the Turkish democracy. The most important opposition leader, the mayor of Istanbul, is behind bars. So from Erdogan's perspective, everything is perfect because nobody is challenging him. The American president, Donald Trump, is highlighting his bromance with the Turkish president. When I'm comparing this relationship with Donald Trump's first term, the only thing which differs is Turkey's penetration in Syria. Turkey paves the way of the United States.
And I would argue the appointment of Tom Barrack as well, who's very close to Donald Trump and who is very pro-Turkey.
Turkish ambassador to the United States. You know, he's the American ambassador to Turkey, but the way he conducts diplomacy is giving us the impression that he is much more loyal to the Turkish interests rather than the American ones. I also would like to remind, you mentioned Tom Barrack. So he said that, if I'm not mistaken, 2 years ago or last year, that the American administration would finalize F-35 purchase at the end of 2025. That's what he said. But bottom line, do we see any kind of F-35s sent to Turkey? We still did not see it. It is not so easy to provide Turkey the F-35s. And in this regard, I think Donald Trump is playing a game here. He is the good cop, and the Congress would be the bad cop. So if the Turks would ask him, what about the F-35s? So he would say, you know, I'm doing my best, but also I have some limitations. I think this is a game. And Donald Trump is playing this game very well so that his interests in other regions, especially in Syria, will be unharmed.
Interesting. We saw the European leader, Kaya Kallas, talking about Turkey still as an EU accession country. And I was quite struck by that the Europeans are still talking about the possibility of Turkey joining the European Union. Is this something Erdogan is still determined to do?
Well, I think the Europeans and also the Turks, they know very well that Turkey will not become a member of the European Union. And we all know the real reason behind it. It's not about the deterioration of democracy in Turkey. It's because of Turkey's Islamic identity. And the Christian Europe does not want to accept Turkey. And this is a huge cultural problem for them. Of course, in this politically correct world, you will not hear such statements, not by any single European leaders. So they are playing this game as if Turkey would be allowed to the European Union in the future. So it's a great excuse for them to have these bilateral meetings. And also the Turkish side, it's a nice title for a Middle Eastern country.
I'm hearing a theme from you, Haytan, that a lot of Western leaders are telling Erdogan what he wants to hear, but they're not necessarily going to do what he wants them to do. Is that right?
Yes, definitely, because they are all concentrated in their own immediate interests. Only Greece and Republic of Cyprus can be considered as an exception in the European camp, while the others are mostly focused on their own interests. We are talking about a very fragmented Europe, and their interests are differing from each other. So I'm not expecting so much from the Europeans. But you can also feel and see their mistrust to Turkey. They are not funding Turkey, for instance, in artificial intelligence.
You touched on the internal political situation. And Erdogan, you know, he's crushed dissent. He's jailed his opponents. What level of popularity does he enjoy in Turkey?
Turkish society, it's like a watermelon. You are cutting the watermelon from the half, and it's never absolute. 52% to 48%, that was the result of the previous election. So I believe that there is a very visible polarization and fragmentation in the Turkish society. And given the devaluation of the Turkish lira and unemployment, there should be a deterioration in Erdogan's popularity. That's very natural. But since he is adopting this strategy of chasing after the opposition, and he also recruited the judiciary and the police forces for his own agenda. Well, we see, unfortunately, the Turkish opposition fell to this trap. Today, there is a puppet leader in the Turkish opposition party, and it will pave the way for a division in the opposition. And most likely, Erdogan will be victorious. Turkish people had a hope that they could replace their government in the ballot box. Now, this hope is, in my opinion, no longer exists. These elections will be held only to provide legitimacy to Erdogan. And in my opinion, the outcome of this election is already known.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. And please subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.